We're in part four of Wait. And how many of you have enjoyed this series so far? How many of you been here for this series so far? We've gone some places in this series, and last week we talked about comparison. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it, because I think comparison is something that each and every one of us, no matter what age we are, we're tempted with. We deal with, and if we're not careful, it will start to cause us to cower from the calling of God, because we're comparing ourselves to other people that we were never meant to be. How many of you know that only you being you can fulfill what God's called you to do? Only you being you. And so it's so vitally important that we know who we are, who God's calling us to be, and that we stay in that lane. But I wanted to talk to you tonight about another weight that I see crippling so many Christians just everywhere. And this is another one that doesn't really matter the age. Sure, it's young people, but it's people my age too. It's people that are even older. And that weight is fear. I want to talk about fear tonight, because fear, and you can label this however you want. You can put next to fear, you can put worry and anxiety, because it all kind of lumps into the same thing, and it all underlies with this word fear. And so I want to address that head on tonight from a biblical perspective. How many of you believe that the Bible is true? Here at the United, we teach the Bible because we believe it is God's word. We believe it is inspired by His Spirit, and it is useful to help instruct us on how to live a life that thrives. And so we're excited about it. We love looking into the word. And so think about it. We all tend to have fear creep in at different times. Anybody in here, like, you fear the unknown a little bit? It's like, I don't know, there's something about something that I haven't done before, or something that I don't know how to do, that kind of, if I'm not careful, causes me to, like, fear it a little bit. That causes me to be a little hesitant to jump into it. For me, that looks like basically doing anything handy ever at all. See, I come from a family where handiness is not really what we do. And that's the nice way of putting it. My dad passed on genes to me that are just, you leave it worse. You know what I mean? Have you ever known this isn't my lane? Like, I'm just not very good at this. So whenever I encounter a project that requires attention or even the little bit of handiness, I know that, like, instantly this hesitation comes in. This like fear of moving forward comes in. And I start to think, like, I shouldn't touch that, because if I do that, this might happen. If I try, for instance, we just moved. So there was this simple task of hooking up the washer and dryer. So I thought that I had it. Like, I thought I had it the right way. And so I had it all hooked up, and it looked right. It seemed good. And I went to turn the water on, and all of a sudden, water is shooting at my face. Water is shooting just everywhere. It looks like the hoses are connected, but here I needed these things called pliers to tighten them beyond the point where my fingers could tighten. I thought, like, I was strong enough, but then all of a sudden there's water all over the floor of my basement. I look down and my socks are wet, and I'm standing in a puddle. And it's all because, like, when I touch things like that, it usually ends up a little bit worse than the way I found it. And for some of us in our lives as followers of Jesus, we have the same hesitancy towards anything that God calls us to do, because the things that God is calling us to do, they're unknown. The things that God's calling us to step out in, they're unknown. We don't know how to do them. We've never experienced them. So we have an intrepidation towards going after them. I've had the same type of thing whenever I move into a new job or a new position or new something. Anytime something is new, it's just a little bit intimidating. But I believe that here at the United, that God is calling each one of us into a new season to step out, to stand up, and to live the lives that He's called us to. And there's no time for a fear of the unknown, and there's no time for an intrepidation. but there's courage and there's faith that's required to take the steps that he's called us to. And so I wanted to just touch on for a moment a couple things that fear does. But before I do, I want to read this verse because I love this verse. I think it just kind of gives us just the solution right away. It's Isaiah 41 and verse 10. It says, "Do not be afraid." This is God talking. "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." I don't know about you, but I can't find anything more certain than that. When God says, "Hey, I'm with you always. I'm going to hold you up with my victorious right hand." That should be everything we need right there to have the courage and the faith to take the steps that God called us to. Because if he said that, then there's nothing that anybody else says, does, or suggests that should be able to talk us out of what God just said right there. Do not be afraid. So I believe God's saying to us as we move forward into the new season, into the new steps that he's calling us to, he's saying to us, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to be your strength. And I'm going to uphold you with my victorious right hand. See, the problem is fear. It constantly tries to creep in. And here's a few things that fear does. Fear comes to stop someone God is trying to use before they start. Fear comes to stop someone that God is trying to use before they even start. Fear causes you to shrink back when God is calling you to step up. Fear causes you, it will always cause you to shrink back. When you're called to take a step out and a step up, it'll always cause you to shrink back. "Well, I can't do that. I know God's calling me to get involved. I know God's calling me to be a student leader, but I just don't. I'm not there yet. I'm not qualified. I just don't think I can do that." See, I think we have to get our focus back on Jesus and get it off of ourselves, because anytime that it's on us, we're going to consistently shrink back. But anytime that our focus is on his strength, we will continually step up to the plate and do what he's called us to do. So fear is going to go ahead and cause us to shrink back. Fear challenges everything that God said. Think about it. Every time you find a promise in the Word of God, every time God speaks something to your heart, isn't it funny how thoughts attack your mind? Thoughts of fear, thoughts of doubt, thoughts of unbelief will come and start to attack your mind. Why? Because the enemy tries to instill fear to go ahead and challenge what God said. The enemy is always going to try to challenge what God said. And fear creates insecurity by putting the focus on your limitations instead of on God's ability. That's important that you know that fear, it's going to constantly cause you to focus on what you can't do rather than what God can do through you. And so if you allow fear to creep in, the problem with fear is it'll always cause you to fall short of the life that God's intended for you. But if you'll step up and live a life of faith, encourage, trusting in God, you'll fulfill the call of God for your life. And guess what? The call of God for your life, it affects other people. So not only will you have a great and thriving life, but other people because of you will have a great and thriving life. And I believe that that's the goal. So I wanted to just go through tonight really quickly. And I'm not going to take much time because I know it's the last week of school. And so here's the deal, guys. I'm going to tell you what's up. Next week, we're going to have a summer party, like kick off the summer party. We're going to do it right. We're going to have pizza. We're going to have some giveaways. And we're going to just have a good time. We're going to highlight some great things God's done this year, but we're going to just celebrate the fact that school is over and that we can just come to church and just be free and have a good time. How about it? And so, but I'm going to just share the story. In fact, like, this is my son Jude. He's 4. This is his favorite Bible story. So I'm excited to share it. He's no longer in here because he was probably running around and couldn't handle it, but it's his favorite Bible story. We do those Bible apps. Any of you familiar with the Bible app for kids? We do the Bible app for kids every night, and he chooses this one like 9 times out of 10. And that's the story of David and Goliath. Everybody knows this story. everybody knows about David and how he was a shepherd boy and how his father went ahead and sent him to take his brothers a meal and to check on them while they were at war, while they were in this battle. And so David goes to the battlefield and he's standing there. And while he's there, he hears Goliath taunting his people. And his people are all cowering away. David's like a teenage boy. Isn't it interesting that God used young people back then? And I believe that he still wants to use young people right now at the very forefront of what he's doing. Because the Bible says, let no one despise your youth. God wants to use you right now while you're young. Don't wait until someday to be used by God, because God wants to use you today, right now, where you're at. You're not too young. In fact, you are the perfect age to have an impact where you're at. But David is a teenage boy, and he goes and he hears what Goliath's saying, and he thinks to himself, man, like, we're on God's side. God is on our side. How is he talking to us like that? This is ridiculous. And so David says, you know what? I'm going to fight him. And everybody kind of like looks at David like, David, yo, like chill. Like, what are you doing? You're just a small guy and don't worry about it. So everybody's kind of even on David's side, kind of letting him know, like, you can't. How many of you know that even the people who are supposed to be in your corner sometimes will be the biggest cause of insecurity? Sometimes even the people that like are supposed to be your friends are the ones who doubt the call of God in your life the most. When God says something, they tell you all the reasons why you can't. When you feel like there's a dream in your heart, they just like talk the dream away if you allow them. See, but David has these people that they're saying all these things. And then the king, you know, there's always something about people in authority, right? That when they talk, like, we sometimes like want them to say something nice. Like, I don't know about you, but I've always just like loved having the approval of the people in authority over me. I've loved when they were encouraging. Like, I've loved when they believed in me because it caused me to believe in myself. Think about this. David goes to the king and he's like ready to fight. And the king is trying to like talk him out of it. The king is like, I don't think so. And finally, David is like, yeah, I'm going to go do it. So the king tries to give David his armor. His armor's too heavy because David's too small. So the armor is too heavy. How many of you know that like there's something that someone else has that won't fit on you while you're taking the steps God's called you to take into your calling? That only you being you with the equipment that God's given you can fulfill that call. You can't take someone else's equipment. You don't need someone else's gift. The only thing you need is what God has given you, because everything that he's placed in your hand is the key to fulfilling what is in your heart. The gift that he's given you is enough. God plus you is always the majority. You don't need anything besides what God has equipped and empowered you with as a person to be able to fulfill his calling on your life. I'm so thankful that I don't have to be like someone else to be used mightily by God. It's so important that we know this, because if not, we'll spend our lives looking at people who have done great things and thinking that the great things are because of their great gift. Can I tell you that God has placed a gift in you that is for what he's called you specifically to do? He's placed a gift in you that is equipped for every battle that comes your way. He's placed a gift in you that can accomplish what he's called you to do. It's so important that you grasp that only you being you, not you pretending to be someone else, not you wearing what someone else has, not you trying to act like someone else and trying to act like you have the same gift. No, you're uniquely designed for a destiny that God knows that we're just trying to discover. How many of you know that you don't decide your destiny? Your destiny is discovered. And the only way you can discover it is by getting into the presence of the one who designed you, because he designed you on purpose with a purpose, and you'll never know that purpose unless you get into his presence and find out, unless you allow him to speak to your heart. See, I believe that when the Bible says that every day of your life was written in a book, I believe that that's true. I believe that every single day of our lives, of your life, of my life was written in a book. But I found that some people, they aren't on the right page. Some people, they aren't in the right chapter. And some people, they aren't even in the right book. Because in order to be in the right book, in order to be in the right chapter, in order to be on the right page, you've got to be constantly communicating. You've got to be in a genuine and authentic relationship with Jesus, allowing him to be the final voice and the final say. And he's given us his word to go ahead and look into to continue to feed our confidence in what he's called us to do. So it's important that we know that. I believe it was vital that we just stopped there and took a moment to grasp that fact that God has called you to something special that only you can do. And it's not you pretending, but it's you being you. So David can't wear the armor, but what he does have, what he is learned in, his skill is he's good with a sling. And so he takes his sling and he takes the sling out there and Goliath is taunting him. Goliath is telling him every reason why he won't win. Goliath is letting him know you're not big enough, you're not strong enough. Goliath is mocking him, making fun of him in that moment. Think about this, because a lot of times we read the Bible and we pass over it and we don't look at our own lives. How many times on the daily do we get made fun of? Do we get mocked because of our faith? Do we have people tell us everything wrong about us? See, Goliath is telling David every reason why he can't do what God called him to do. Every reason why he can't be the victor that God's called him to be. Every reason why he won't win. But David doesn't let it faze him. David just goes ahead and he says back like, hey, you might have the sword, you might have the armor, you might seem like you're bigger, but guess what? God is on my side. This is my version. God is on my side, so I can't lose. David had a confidence in who God was and what God had promised, so he wasn't going to waver. He was going to just trust God that God was faithful, and that since God was on his side, he couldn't lose. And so David winds it up, and we all know the story. He throws the rock, hits Goliath in the head. Goliath falls. They all shout and are excited for David. But see, David didn't wait until the crowd was with him to start stepping into the calling of God for his life. Don't wait until the crowd is with you. Don't wait until they're cheering to start stepping into his calling. See, a lot of times we think, if people get behind me, then I can take the step. No, a lot of times you have to take the step when people are naysaying you, when they're saying that you can't do it, when they're telling you all of the limitations. You have to put your eyes back on God's ability and know that it's his strength that you're operating out of and not your own. Because when you realize that it is God's grace that brought you in this thing, and it's God's grace that will carry you through, which is his ability on top of your ability to do what you otherwise couldn't do, you will start to achieve the impossible because you know that we serve the God of impossibilities. See, Goliath was thought of as invincible, but how many of you know that no one or no enemy is invincible when you serve the God of the impossible? There's no enemy that's invincible when you serve the God of the impossible. See, some of us just need to remind ourselves and just take a praise break that we serve the God of the impossible. That no matter the circumstance, no matter the obstacle, no matter the attack of the enemy, it is not invincible. In fact, you already have victory over it. Why? Because you serve the God of the impossibility. That situation that seems like it is so far gone, that seems impossible. That family situation. That diagnosis. You think that it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we serve a God who does the impossible, who performs miracles still today, and that there is nothing that is impossible for him. So the enemy is never invincible when you serve the God of the impossible. You might want to write that down because you might not be in a situation or a circumstance today, but you might find yourself in one tomorrow or next week. Why? Because Jesus himself said that storms will come, but take heart because I've overcome the world. When you know that Jesus is on your side, you always know that you overcome. So David, he fought him anyways, and he made he went ahead and beat him. He defeated Goliath. And so then everybody's cheering. But again, don't wait until people are cheering for you to start taking those steps of obedience into your calling. Don't wait until people are siding with you. Because a lot of times before you take the step, everybody will tell you you're crazy. But when you take a step that God says to take, when it's a step of faith, the same people that call you crazy will be the ones cheering. Because it takes courage to step into the calling of God for your life. It takes courage. Not everybody is willing to do it. Only the people who are strong and have a firm foundation of faith are willing to take steps that require courage into their calling. And if you're a follower of Jesus, I believe that those steps are required of us every single day. There is another step to take. Every single day, God is calling us to another level. So I believe that, again, fear is something that the enemy uses to try to stop you, because he knows if you overcome fear, you're not only a threat in and of yourself, but you're a threat to change the lives of others. When David won, he didn't just win a victory for himself, he won a victory for all of those people. See, when you win and your story is, I won, not only does your story affect you, but your story has a ripple effect where God wants to use your story, your breakthrough, to help be the breakthrough that someone else has. Once you've seen God move in an area of your life, there are people going through similar situations that God will use you and your story to help bring them up out of the same type of thing that you went through. Because your victory, your faith victory, is never just about you. It always includes others. So I believe that there are three things that we see in David that we need to conquer fear. And I want to just share those three things with you. Again, I'll be quick. I know it's exam week, last week of school. I can tell by the terrorized looks on your faces that it's the last week of school. We're almost at the end. And so it's a good thing we're talking about fear, because some of you look straight scared. And so number one, know what God said in his word. Really simple. Know what God said in his word. It's not hard, but you've got to know what he said. Why? Because we talked about there's fear in the unknown, right? But faith begins where the will of God is known. And so a lot of times we only have fear because we don't know what God said. There are so many followers of Jesus who have no idea that there is a promise of God for the very problem that they're going through. They have no idea because they haven't gotten into his word to see it. See, fear comes from the unknown, or you can say it this way, fear comes from a lack of knowledge. David knew what God said. When we know the word of God, we can base our decisions on it, we can base our lives on it, and we can know that we have a firm foundation for our faith, and it is the word of God. How many of you are thankful in here for your Bible? How many of you are thankful for the word of God? Here at the United, we love God's word. I believe that it's so important that you have a daily devotion life, that you're reading the word daily. And can I ask you really quickly and challenge you with this? It's about to be summertime. I think you should get yourself a devotion plan and really start to read the Bible so that you know for yourself what it says. See, it's not enough for your parents to know what it says. It's not enough for your best friend to know what it says. You've got to know what it says for you. That way, when the temptation comes to you, you know that, oh, God's word says this. So I don't have to fall for that temptation. I can actually overcome and triumph over that temptation. See, because this is important. People will taunt you. The enemy will tempt you. So it's important that you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you how to trust God. How to trust God through all of it. How does he teach you? Through the word. He reveals it. He brings to light those things that you need to know. I believe the revelation of God's word, it's like when the light comes on. It's not enough to just know it in your head. You've got to have a heart revelation where it's like, boom, that's in my heart. I know it. I don't just have a head knowledge, but I have a heart knowledge. There's a big difference. And so we've got to get to that place where we have a heart knowledge, where this is our strongest conviction, where the word of God is the final say, where it is the ultimate truth in our lives, where there's no other truth that would override or even be able to compare to the truth of God's word. That every time we hear something that doesn't line up, we'd be able to identify it right away. That's how you start to learn to take control of your thoughts. We talked about how the enemy will control your mind or try to with bombarding you with thoughts of fear. If you know what the word says, you're going to quickly identify those thoughts that don't line up, and you're going to be able to do what the Bible says and cast down those imaginations or those thoughts or any high thing that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. But if you don't know what God's word says, good luck identifying, because you're not going to know. And so that's not to get down on anybody, but that's just to place the value back where it needs to be, on the word of God. And some of these are simple, basic truths that will absolutely change your life if you apply them. So number two is simply this: have confidence. First was know what God said in his word. Number two is have confidence that his word's true. See, you have to decide what is truth for yourself. We live in a society today that says truth is relative. It's whatever you want it to be, essentially. But the fact of the matter is that the only true truth, the only real truth, the only authentic truth is found in God's word. But you have to decide that that's truth for you. Nobody can do it for you. You have to decide that God's word is your truth. When you have confidence in what God said and put your trust in him, what other people think or say no longer matters. Think about this really quickly. You see this happen all the time. Other people say something and it plants some discouragement with what they said. They speak some discouragement, and all of a sudden, that discouragement causes people to disengage from the vision that God gave them, from what God had placed in their heart. Have you seen this happen? I've seen it happen in friends' lives. I've seen it happen in leaders' lives and students' lives all the time. God gives them this idea or this picture of what they're going to do, or God gives them like a next step to take, and all of a sudden, either circumstances or what people say, a lot of times it's what people say, it plants a seed of discouragement, and that discouragement leads to a disillusion that causes a disengagement from what God called them to do. And then all of a sudden they start to distance themselves from God. And they start to distance themselves from his call. And my heart, my belief for you is that you wouldn't allow discouragement to disillusion you. That you would take discouragement and talk back to it with the word of God. That the word of God would be truth above anything that anybody says. See, I think that when you're not concerned about what other people say, that's when you're most effective. See, it's not about not focusing on what other people say. It's not about what other people say. It's about what God is able to do. You've got to take your focus off of what other people say and put it on what God is able to do. When is the last time, young person, that you dreamed a God dream? When is the last time that you got your eyes on Jesus and started to dream a little bit outside of yourself, to where you thought, if God doesn't show up in this dream, it is absolutely impossible? Because I want to tell you that there's something about getting your eyes on Jesus where he will increase your ability to dream. He will enlarge your vision to the point where you know, if God doesn't show up, this is impossible. Can I encourage you that if you can accomplish the dream that's in your heart all by yourself without God's help, you are not dreaming big enough. You're not dreaming God dreams. If you're dreaming a God dream, you know, God, I need you in every second of this dream. I need your grace every single day. I need you. And that's when you know that you're dreaming God dream. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged. Don't allow yourself to be disillusioned. Don't allow yourself to disengage from what God has put on your heart. Man, I believe that there's so much potential in this room. There's so much potential, God potential, that he's placed in you. Start to live from a perspective of how God sees you and the potential that he's placed in you, not the parameters that other people have tried to put you in. The potential that God's placed you in, not the parameters that other people have tried to put around you. Have you ever noticed that? That people, they constantly try to put parameters on your potential. They constantly try to keep you in a box till you're able to do this. And I don't see you doing that, though. You start to tell them a little bit, I don't see you doing that. It doesn't matter. If God sees you doing it and he put a dream in your heart to do it, then you might as well just start to meditate on the word and get faith in your heart that no fear can trump that faith, that his word is the absolute final say, and you continue to take faith steps forward. Can I encourage you with one thing? Lose the weight and keep moving forward, because the best is yet to come. Your future is bright. Your future is sealed, but it is contingent on your faith overriding fear in your life. Your future is bright, but you've got to have faith to fulfill the future that God has for you. David could have looked at himself in a different perspective. He could have looked at Goliath and saw somebody that was so big. This obstacle is too big. The thing in front of me, the thing between me and the victory I know God promised is just too big. When Goliath is talking down to him, he could have taken what Goliath was saying and allowed it to disillusion him and disengage him from what he knew God said. But David knew what God said, and he placed his confidence or his trust in what God said. And he didn't allow it to sway him, but he just kept moving forward with that confidence. Do you have the courage? Do you have the trust in God to keep moving forward in confidence rather than shrinking back in fear? Number three, understand that the God who is with you is way bigger than anything or anyone that comes against you. And I know this seems like it's just building on each other piece by piece, these points, but it's so vitally important. I didn't want to skip over any of these because I think they're important for you to know. You've got to understand that God is bigger. You've got to know that not only is God able to move in your situation and able to help the plan of God come to fruition in your life, but he's willing. He wants to. God cares more about your life than you do. He cares more about your success than you do. So it just makes sense that we would put our trust in him. Don't be moved again by what others say. Only be moved in your life by what God is able to do. Don't allow the discouragement of others to cause you to disengage. I believe that's vitally important. I think there's something about not caring, isn't there? There's something about living for an audience of one and not caring. See, we take not caring and we think of schoolwork, right? I mean, I don't care about that. Some of you, and then you will, like when you're graduating. Anyways, I'm not going to go there. Sorry. But we think about not caring. I think we need to not care about our image, about what other people think. See, I believe the moment that you stop caring about your image is the moment that your image starts to look better. Why? Because you're no longer living out of a place of that small, limited image that you had of yourself, but you're living out of a place where people can see the greatness of your God shining through your life. And that makes your image look a whole lot better. Can I tell you, the grace of God will make you look a whole lot better than you actually are? The grace of God will make you look good. The grace of God will give you an image that you actually desire. But I believe so many children of God, so many followers of Jesus, live with a limited image of themselves, a really small perspective of themselves, and they continually live out of that place so people see them that way. Start to not care about your image. Start to not care about what people think of you because you're a follower of Jesus. See, I believe it's when we do that that our lives truly become powerful. I believe it's when we do that that we truly see the power of God start to work through us. In Hebrews 13:6, and I'm going to wrap this up with this verse and this thought and this idea. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, it says, so we can say with confidence. Everybody say with confidence. That was really weak. Everybody again say with confidence. We can say with confidence. The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? What if we had that perspective when we went back to our schools? I know it's about over this year, praise the Lord. When we went back next fall, what can people do to me? Maybe we wouldn't be so intimidated by them insulting us. Maybe we wouldn't allow it to resonate so much and take a deep root in our heart and really take everything that they say to heart, but we would only take what God said about us to heart so that we could live confidently. Because can I tell you, if you've been to high school, everybody has had something insulting said to them. It's just like sometimes middle school and high school are when people are the meanest. Why? Because I believe hurt people hurt people. And there are people that are hurting that are going to hurt you just because they hurt. And if they don't feel good about them, they can't let you feel good about you. And so that's why you've got to already feel good about you because of what Jesus said. And there should be nothing that they can say to sway you off of that. The Lord is my helper. I will have no fear. In verse 5, right above that, in Hebrews 13:5, it says, God tells us, I will never fail you or abandon you. I'm so thankful that he never fails us or abandons us. Put your faith in God's promises and understand that God and his greatness, the God who is with you, get this, write this down if you're taking notes. The God who is with you is far greater than any fear that would try to grip you. I believe for some of you, you've had fear, you've had anxiety, it's been gripping you and it's had a grip and you haven't been able to get it to release. And I believe that tonight is a night of freedom from fear for you. Because the Bible tells us that it's the perfect love of Jesus that casts out all fear. That we don't have to fear anything, anyone, any circumstance, any problem. But because we know God loves us, and because we know how he feels about us, and because we know that his promises are true, because we know that our futures are sealed in him, that we no longer have to fear anything, but we can enter each day with a healthy anticipation, with an excitement that we know tomorrow is going to be better than today was. And the next day is going to be even better than that. The Bible says that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I believe that followers of Jesus, they shouldn't be just surviving through life hoping to make it by day, by day, by day, but they should be excited about life. Wake up invigorated. Wake up full of vision. Wake up full of excitement, knowing that God called me to something great. And he who called me and started this work in me will be faithful to complete it until the end. That as long as you have breath, that you'll go ahead and make a decision to praise him because you know that he's good, because you know that he's already won the victory, and that you're not fighting for victory, but you're fighting from victory. I believe that we're just simply here to enforce a victory that's already been won, but so many of us are battling down here. See, we talked about last week the presence of God, and we said that those who wait on the Lord, they would renew their strength, that there would be a renewed strength in them, that they would mount up with wings like eagles. We said this, that eagles, they fly at such a high altitude that they rise above all of the resistance. I believe that God's plan for each and every one of us is to just put our trust in him and just have such a faith through the journey that even when it looks like things aren't going well, that we have a trust in him that he's working behind the scenes to make all things work together for our good, that he's working behind the scenes to turn our situation around, that we have such a trust in him that we just rest in that we get to his presence often, that we don't become disillusioned and distance ourselves from the presence of God. No, we know that he's the source of our strength, of his grace. We know that he's the source of everything good, so we go to him on the daily, and we say, God, you are great, and you're greatly to be praised. As long as I have breath, my lips will praise you. And as we do that, there is power that is working in our lives. There's power that is working through our lives, and he's able to do everything in our lives that he wants to do as we continue to just rise above all of the adversity, all of the problems. See, you weren't meant to crawl your way through. Crawl and claw and scratch and fight. You were meant to rise above. You were meant to live as an overcomer. It said, take heart because I've overcome the world. That doesn't overcome. That doesn't sound like something that you're living under and trying to fight through. That sounds like something that over. You overcome. You go over it. An eagle rises above the altitude where there's resistance. I believe that when you wait on the Lord, you renew your strength so that you're able to rise above the problems, the circumstances. You're able to take the path of least resistance. The enemy knows this. That's why he tries so hard to get that grip of fear on us so that we'll no longer live a life of faith and complete trust and rest in knowing that God's faithful. But we'll get over into that side of worry and anxiety where he can continue to hold us back from God's best, where he can continue to keep us crippled and cowered from the calling of God, where he can continue to keep us just floating through life from circumstance to circumstance, from problem to problem. Can I tell you that you are meant to be an overcomer? Can I tell you that you overcome by your faith, and that your faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that we should be putting God's word in our hearts. We should be letting God's word come out of our mouth when pressure comes. I love this. You're like a tube of toothpaste. Whatever's in you the most will come out. And so when pressure's applied, what is coming out? Because I believe there's a point in everyone's life where it should go from those profanities that came out before you knew Jesus to there's a praise that comes out. Where there once was profanity, now there's praise because you know that you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to be anxious about anything. You can cast your cares on him because he cares for you. But what does it take to cast your care? It takes trust. It takes faith over fear. It takes knowing that God is who he said he is and that he'll do what he said he would do. And for some of you tonight, I believe that God's calling you to take that step. Take a step in trusting him. You've been so anxious about what you're going to do next. You've been so fearful about the future. It's time for you to release it, to let it go, and to trust God with it, and just rest in the fact that he knows where you're going, that he has the book, that every day of your life is listed in that book. And it's only your job to get into his presence and discover the plan. It's not your job to decide. It's your job to discover. I believe that for some of you, it's a call to discovery. God, what's the next step? God, what are you calling me to do? What is it that you want me to do next? Maybe for some of you, it's a small step. Maybe for some of you, it's a large step. I don't know what it is, but all I know is that when you put your trust fully in Jesus, that's when fear loses its grip. That's when worry loses its grip. That's when anxiety, which is so prevalent in our society today, that's when it loses its grip. Because if you'll notice with anxiety, what letter is in the middle? I. I is in the middle. When you're focused on you, when you're trying to figure it out, when it's your way, you're always going to experience anxiety. But when you say, God, my life is yours. God, I trust you that you've got it figured out. God, I'm not going to go my way, not my will, but yours be done. That's when you start to walk in a complete trust and a complete rest. This is what God is calling each of us to in our lives. Let's pray tonight. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to be here at the United. God, we ask tonight that you would help us by your grace to have the courage, to have the trust in you to take whatever step it is that you're calling us to. And God, for some of us, tonight is about discovering what that step is. I thank you that you are a revealer. Holy Spirit, you reveal the next step, and that there'd be a complete rest and a complete trust and a knowing, God, that you've got it all figured out, that we don't have to figure it out on our own, but we can just trust you and take the steps of obedience that you've called us to take. Again, give us the courage to take those steps. Help us to become passionate about your word and continually build our faith so that we can fulfill the calling that you've called us to. We thank you that our best days are ahead, that our future is bright and it's sealed in you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody that agreed with it said, amen. Well, hey, if you're in here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity really quickly to come into a relationship with Jesus. That's where this all starts. And the Bible is very clear that Jesus, he went to a cross. He took the punishment that should have been yours and should have been mine on himself so that we could go ahead and come into a relationship with God. See, Adam and Eve, back in the book of Genesis, they sinned. And when they sinned, they severed the relationship with God. But Jesus came and he took the punishment of our sin on himself to go ahead and bridge the gap to a relationship back with God. Had you been the only person, had I been the only person, Jesus still would have saw it fit to go to that cross because he just wanted to have a relationship. And that's the realness of relationship. You might be familiar with religion and do's and don'ts, but Jesus, he came for relationship. If you're in here and you want to accept the free gift that Jesus came to give, or you say, Josh, I accepted Jesus a while ago, but since then I've walked away. I haven't been living my life right, but I want to get things right tonight. If that's you on either one of those two invitations, I want to ask you to be really bold. And on the count of three, I want to ask that you just slip your hand up. One, I believe tonight is your night. Two, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Three, go ahead and slip your hand up if that's you. We're all good in here. Great. We'll just pray a quick prayer together, and then we'll get you guys on your way. Repeat after me. Father God, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me. Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I want to serve you with everything I've got for the rest of my life. I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, everybody that agreed with it said, amen.